Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Today, our guest is Miguel Vasquez, who is a health equity urban and regional planner with Riverside University Health System. Miguel also was on the planning committee for the very first Healthy Desert, Healthy You Environmental Health Summit, and then later that year, 2024, was a moderator at that event. He's returning in September 2025 at the second annual summit to moderate a different event. Welcome, Miguel.
Thank you, Will. This is a treat. I appreciate the invitation.
I am so happy that you are here. I want to start out talking about what you do, because I am familiar, and most of our listeners are familiar with what an urban and regional planner is. But when you throw in the health equity component, that changes it, I would imagine. Tell me about what you do, what your job is.
Absolutely. My title actually is Health Equity Urban and Regional Planner, because I invented it myself.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was a way to be able to convey what is it that I'm about, because in the planning profession, we have planners who may focus on transportation planning, environmental planning, land use planning, etc., etc. And since I transitioned from a generalist urban planner, which is somebody who does a little bit of everything, into planning for healthy communities, then I started to learn about why equity is so important. I think today we're going to be talking about equity. But essentially, my role has to do with finding opportunities for our communities to be engaged in planning processes. And you mentioned that most people know about planners, but the reality is, from my experience, a lot of people don't know that planners exist or that planning exists. So we have a lot of work to do, because planning is so powerful.
Absolutely, and so necessary.
Exactly.
What I've read is that you work across a broad range of community sectors, public, private, military. Can you give some examples of the types of projects that you work on or have worked on?
Yeah, of course. When I started my role in planning about, 20 years ago or so, I actually started working on environmental programs. So that is one of the reasons why I'm really interested in this conference, because it addresses some of the work that I did in early on in my career. I was a solid waste coordinator.
Oh, wow.
And that means that I was involved in developing environmental programs for different communities throughout Riverside County, working on waste management, promoting reduce, reuse, in recycling of waste as a way to divert things that we typically put in the trash, but put it away from the landfill and give it a second life or use it again, like bottles and cans, for instance. I think that's the easiest way to understand what recycling is.
Absolutely.
And that sort of thing. And then I moved on to working on entitlement projects, which is the traditional work of a city planner, if you will. And that meant that I was a planner dedicated to process permits for development. And that was an amazing experience, in the sense that I got to really learn from the government perspective how you approve projects. And later on, since 2011, I started working for the County of Riverside Department of Public Health. And the idea of hiring an urban planner in the Department of Public Health was to help promote health policy and health programs through the lens of urban planning.
Right.
And since then, that has been my role. And the equity piece is a component that emerged, in the past 10 years.
Right.
And the idea is to find opportunities to, for people who may experience the negative impacts of planning and development so that they can get involved and be part of the planning process.
Absolutely. So you were saying that you believe a lot of people don't know what planning is or who planners are, but that health equity term is relatively recent. So when you go into a project and you talk about health equity, what is the biggest misperception that people have about that?
I think people think that equity has to do with giving handouts for free to people who do not deserve.
I've heard that.
And that is, I think, the misconception. But the idea of equity is really to open up the doors and bring people to the table where decisions are being made. It's a complex and sometimes laborious type of work. But I know people who, without knowing what planning is, they have been able to get into the work and make amazing changes to improve people's lives and people's health and protect the environment.
Right, because that's what it's about. Get people to the table where decisions are made that affect their lives and their health.
Exactly, yeah.
So I mentioned the summit and the fact that you're going to be back in September 2025 as a moderator. And your panel is titled Balancing Growth, the Environmental Impact of Land Use, Infrastructure, and Corporate Distribution Centers. What can attendees expect to hear during that panel discussion?
Yeah, this is going to be an amazing panel, and I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to be exploring mainly the impacts of environmental impacts of urban growth. We're going to explore different ways to develop our lands in a sustainable way. And we are also going to explore solutions to mitigate environmental challenges. And to have the conversation, we're going to have four amazing panelists. And I actually know two of them. That is Dr. Goodies, who is professor of society, environment, and health equity at UCR. And also Dr. Juan de Lara, who is an associate professor at USC. And yeah, over the years, I've done some work with them, so I'm really happy to see them again and having this important conversation. And we will also have Jane Garrison, who is the founder and executive director of Oswego Land Trust.
Yes, we know Jane.
Who was one of your guests,
yes,
in the podcast. And Sandy Hernandez Orellana Burrows, who is the co-founder and board president of Cactus to Cloud Institute.
Okay.
So this is going to be an amazing conversation, mainly framed around distribution centers.
Yes.
And how they're impacting our natural environment.
Right. That's a big conversation, one that needs to be had, because we're seeing the development of these corporate distribution centers more frequently in our communities.
Yes, I was preparing for this conversation today. I was looking into what warehousing development means and a couple of things that I was able to find is that in 1980, there were about 234 warehouses in Southern California. Today, we have over 4,000 warehouses. And if you were to put them all together in one place, they would cover about 40 square miles. And just to give you a sense of what 40 square miles is or are, is more than the land of the city of La Quinta. Oh. I think La Quinta is 32 square miles.
Wow.
And if you wanted to put it into a different context, something that is more relatable, it would be about 19,000 football fields.
Wow.
19,000 football fields covered with distribution centers. And there's actually some cities that really like the title of having the biggest warehouses, right, in their communities.
And but you're saying in Southern California region?
It was all the Southern California
okay.
in one place. That's what it would look like.
That's a lot of warehouses.
Yes, a lot of development, a lot of land. And it is what it is.
Right. Speak to why these distribution centers are important when it comes to our health and the environmental challenges that they present.
I think they're important in the sense that they're part of the economic engine of our region.
Right.
And over the years, that was the solution that was prescribed. I think economists in our region, they would suggest that that was the way of the future. And I think many cities responded to that. And as you also are aware, the connection of warehouses is intimately correlated to our smartphones. So it was not just warehousing for the sake of building warehousing, but actually warehousing because the way in which we shop and buy what we need is now done online. And to be able to do that, we have to have this type of infrastructure. And, you know, when I think about it, the two aspects, the device and the way that we purchase online and the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure, when I think about those two things, is that right now they're, you know, the way we operate. But it doesn't mean that it will be like that forever, because things always change. So I'm really, really curious to see, you know, what will happen once this technology and the way that we do things become obsolete. And, you know, that will happen at some point. 200 years ago, we didn't have any of this. So what's going to be like 200 years from today? Sometimes I imagine, and, you know, it's impossible, actually. Because 200 years ago, you couldn't imagine that we could be doing the things that we are doing today.
That's right. With the development of AI, and we just don't know what's going to happen. And you were speaking about the phones and how we shop. We have a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Because of the phone. We can go right on, choose what we want. We can pay for it right now. And we want it as soon as we can get it.
It's about the convenience. It's right. Very convenient, but it's very detrimental to in so many levels.
Right.
And I'm not saying that is good or bad, but we know what the implications are. And this is part of the conversation that we'll have during the summit.
I'm excited to hear that conversation at the summit. Tell me, as a planner, how do you balance competing land uses?
Well, that is a little bit of a loaded question, because planners are trained to see the entirety of the complexity when it comes to land use planning. And maybe I should talk a little bit about land use now.
Oh, please.
So that I can set the stage for answering your question. Land use is, you know, self-explanatory, right? But
yes.
Sometimes I think it's important to focus on, okay, what exactly does that mean? And when you walk around or drive around, you may see houses here, you may see a school there, you may see a church there, you may see a casino over here. And all the things that we see in the built environment, they don't necessarily come by chance. They are part of a plan. So when we start diving into the idea of planning, you should know that every city and county has a plan, a land use plan, and that is codified in this document called the general plan. And the general plan has different chapters that look into different topics that are really important for planners to know when you plan for warehousing development or housing, or commercial development, or parks, and et cetera, et cetera. And that has to do with thinking about circulation, how people are going to get from one place to another. It has to do with the type of housing or the different types of housing that you want in your community, be single family homes or multifamily homes. It has to do with safety in terms of addressing environmental, potential environmental hazards like flooding. And now, you know, we have to think more about extreme heat and those types of things. So when we have a pretty high level of view of what we need to take into consideration, we have to balance the different needs of the community, but also the needs of the people who want to develop the land, because they're the ones who bring proposals to City Hall, by and large. Governments also engage in development, but most of the development that we see is for private landowners. And they have to abide by these plans that or the city or the county may have. They have to go through an environmental review. And usually that tool is the one that helps us to see where the impacts may be and where impacts may be preventing, mitigating, or they will happen. And there will have to be another way to compensate for whatever detriment may occur as a result of the development. So, and there's different levels of, obviously, of complexity in planning. But the most complex ones require the preparation of an environmental impact report, for instance. And that is a process that entails hiring scientists and professionals in many different disciplines like archaeology, flood control, engineering, architects, historians, geologists.
Let me ask you this. The fact that we have 4,000 warehouses in Southern California, how does that reflect on how we've done in terms of planning?
I think, and obviously, you know, 4,000 distributed over a very large geographical area, you can't really see the extent.
And many different municipalities.
Exactly, okay. Because they're distributed all over the place. And some communities have more than others. Some communities, they don't want them because they know the detriments that they may bring to their communities. But for others, again, they're part of the economic engine to be able right. to generate revenues, to be able to provide services at the local level.
We can't like take a broad brush stroke to
no, and it's part of a larger system. Right. And you know, you may be aware of an association called the Southern California Association of Governments, or SCAG.
Yes.
And they help to plan regionally. So it's not that things are just happening without anybody orchestrating, but at the same time, SCAG doesn't have jurisdiction over any city. So all they can do is recommend. And that's one point that I want to make about planners, is that we may come up with a recommendation that would meet the needs of all the different stakeholders. But at the end of the day, it's up to our elected officials to determine if that's the direction they want to go or if there's any other alternatives to move forward with developing the land.
Which is another argument for people to really go to city council meetings and pay attention to what's happening and what's being discussed and considered. And that's another opportunity to really have a seat at the table.
Yeah, and I think Jane.
Jane Garrison.
Jane Garrison is a good example of that.
Right.
Because she had no idea. Maybe she didn't even know that planning existed, right? But when she heard that this plot of land, you know, beautiful open space was going to be developed, she was like, what? Wait a second. What exactly does that mean? What can I do? And that's how she started. She started asking questions.
Exactly.
And asking questions is one of the best ways to learn. And she got involved, engaged, and by now she speaks planning. And probably better, I think she probably speaks better planning than planners I know.
Right. I guess in general, when you look at the planning of the Valley, the region, we talk about land use. Are there guardrails, protections that you would like to see in place that are not in place yet?
I will give you a personal answer.
Okay.
There is in planning this idea of urban growth boundaries. And they're more popular in Northern California and Oregon. I'm not sure we have those in here in that sort of sense. There's other plans that protect open spaces like the multi-species habitat conservation plan, which the Coachella Valley has. And also there's another one in the western part of the county. And in some ways, those serve, I think, as urban growth boundaries. But I think it would be good to do a major assessment of the carrying capacity of our lands to be able to know to what point we can develop or not. And I don't think we have that kind of tool. I think that could be hopefully something that we could do with all this new technology that is emerging. You know, with AI, perhaps we can be able to quantify exactly what is the maximum allowable development footprint for a city. I think that would be my ideal.
All right. Bringing AI into the mix as well.
Why not? Let's use the tools to our advantage.
And we will be right back after this important message. The air we breathe, the water we drink, and the land we live on are central parts of living a thriving, healthy life here in the Coachella Valley. That's why the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation, with community partners, will present the second annual Healthy Desert, Healthy You Environmental Health Summit on September 11 and 12, 2025, at the Westin Mission Hills Resort in Rancho Mirage. We are bringing together environmental advocates, health experts, community leaders, and concerned residents like you to explore solutions to the environmental challenges we face. Join the conversation. Register today for this free event at HealthyDesertHealthyYou.com. I am back with Miguel Vasquez of Riverside University Health System, having a really fascinating conversation about land use and corporate distribution centers and their impact on the environment. So we were talking a little bit about what you've seen in Northern California and also Oregon. I was going to ask, are there gold star communities, communities that are really doing it right in terms of planning with environmental protection and sustainability, conservation in mind?
Yeah, I think there are some good examples even in our region, in San Diego, for instance.
Okay.
I think San Diego County is one of the places that has a very prominent multi-species habitat conservation plan, which has already dedicated significant amount of land that is protected from development. But I don't know the numbers, you know, in terms of what's the percentage that is allocated for that. But it has, if you Google it, you will find that that's a pretty impressive plan
right.
from San Diego.
And that's definitely an urban area. There are a lot of people in San Diego, so it's good that they're thinking about open spaces and preserving these natural habitats.
Yeah, and you know, what is interesting is that I can't remember her name right now, but the person who started this plan was, somebody who loved the environment, just like Jane. And I think that is really important to recognize that the more we have these opportunities to understand why nature is so important, I think that the more conscious we can raise among everybody to say, yeah, that protecting open spaces, it's important. It's as important as our economy.
So Miguel, when talking about the impact that youth can have, are there any examples that you would like to share?
Yeah, I have an example, and it's a simple activity. And I think it relates to my work when I started as a solid waste coordinator. Now at the Department of Public Health, we have a tobacco control program, which works on smoking cessation and other ways for people to breathe clean air, if you will. But one of the activities that we are doing with our partners at the RAP Foundation, Ashley Huesca Arellano actually was involved in a cleanup event just recently, actually this year, at Rancho Las Flores in Bagdoma Park, and they collected about 150 cigarette butts, you know, which are littering or public spaces. And if you put that into the context of the larger issue, you know, like conservation areas, they need to be maintained as well. And young people have the ability to be part of helping out to keep our open spaces clean.
I mentioned earlier that you are going to be at the summit, the 2025 summit. Why should our listeners attend the summit? You've been there a couple of times. Just talk about your experience or why you think they should check it out.
I think the conversations that you hear from experts on the stage are really important, because sometimes they may share technical information that, you know, typically you may not be aware of. Sometimes they share their stories, and sometimes they can be powerful. Last year, we heard the story of Nayeli Cobo.
Very powerful story.
Very powerful and moving story. And moving in the sense that when you hear from somebody who has been impacted by environmental challenges in so many ways, I mean, physically and mentally and so many other ways, and how she was able to say no to more of that kind of development that was affecting her and her community. I think those stories are inspirational, and I think they can help us to move the needle so that we can, as you alluded earlier, balance our needs, you know, the needs of the human needs with the needs of our environment.
Absolutely. I was in the audience when Nayeli spoke, and just so impressive. A lot of people were moved, and the fact that she started so young. Advocating for removing all drilling sites from her neighborhood and her community. So I would agree with you. That's a really great reason to go to the summit on September 11 and 12, 2025, in Rancho Mirage. Any parting words or thoughts you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think the first one is that I was at... as I was driving down to Palm Springs from Riverside, and I see all these still open spaces, but I see a lot of development. Then, you know, it really gets to you. The feeling that we're growing and we will continue to grow, and the growth has to be, again, balance. But how do we find the balance? And one way to do that is to engage the community. And from my point of view, I think it's important to engage the young members or the younger members of our communities, because they're the ones who are going to be inheriting what we are doing and what we are not doing.
Right.
When it comes to conservation. Just speaking on conservation, again, I heard the podcast with Jane, and she gave me the impression that, you know, sometimes people talk about environmentalists as tree huggers. And tree hugging is one of the best things you could ever do. I am really serious. Today, there was an article in The Guardian, and it was about a new study that is revealing that human connection to nature has decreased by 60% in the past 200 years. So if you put it into some sort of historical context, 200 years ago, California was part of Mexico, and it was a completely different undeveloped land. And if you think about it, the land was still very close to the rightful owners of these places. And it was a different mindset of interacting with the land, in thinking about the animals, the plants, the rocks, the sand. And I think we need to find a way to make that connection, because they're just as important as we are. And listening to Jane sort of brought that idea, and I encourage everyone to hug a tree.
Okay.
And the second thing is that when it comes to development and learning about how to get in the game, I wanted to highlight Assembly Member Juan Carrillo, who represents District 39, which is in Victorville, but he also covers parts of San Bernardino. He is one of the co-authors of AB 98, called Planning and Zoning, Logistics Use in Truck Routes. And this bill is designed to do warehousing development in a way that is not going to impact our communities as much. So you were talking about guardrails.
Right.
He is a legislator that through policy, he's coming up with ways to help us grow responsibly when it comes to warehouses. And the interesting thing about Assemblymember Carrillo is that he also has a planning degree. He was an urban planner in his community, and at some point he also served as a council member. But he spent some time in the planning department in the city of Coachella. So he has some, he's seen the changes in our different communities, especially when it comes to the impacts of distribution centers. So I think it's really, really important for anybody and everybody to know about the power of planning to be healthier. So that is my departing word.
All right. Absolutely. So all the listeners out there, go out, hug a tree, and get on Google and learn about California Assembly Bill 98.
Yes.
Miguel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you for being here and being a part of this conversation on the Healthy Desert, Healthy You podcast. Remember that you can always subscribe on Spotify, Apple Music, Audible, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.